Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, December 12th, and we're back from a little vacation.
A little vacation before the vacation.
Yes. And we'll tell you all about it. A lot of things happening in the news. You know, the fires are still going on.
Yeah,
Rachel.
I saw that.
One of them is only 20% contained, and that's terrible. When I flew into town
last night,
I could see him.
Wow.
Yeah. It's still pretty large.
Do we
man.
Know? It's weather conditions that have caused this, right?
I don't know.
We don't know?
No,
we'll
we don't know.
Know. Do they ever determine it? It's probably hard to determine the cause of fire.
Yeah, of such a huge one.
Yeah.
But often they know if it's an arson or not, you know. But I don't know. They didn't say anything about that, so I don't know. But it seems sort of like not so random, you know, the areas and stuff, you know. I mean, all of Southern California and stuff and... I don't know. I was thinking maybe terrorism or something, but I don't know. You know, I remember reading a book once. I don't know. Did I tell you that? I read a fiction book, and it was about terrorists setting fire to Southern California.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that. I thought, what a great... I mean, you know, you don't want to give ideas, but it's not like you have to be so smart to figure that starting a fire is really easy, you know, and you can cause a lot of damage and stuff. So I'm just surprised it hasn't happened before, but let's hope it never happens, man, because it's sad, you know. I mean, they're saying over a thousand structures have been destroyed, you know, and the fire is huge. It's larger than New York City. All of New York City.
Wow.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Only 20% contained.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so this is still going on. Thousands of firefighters, really. And that's a lot. That's a lot of firefighters. But I salute them. I'm sure we all do because this is terrible, you know. I mean, you know that one of our former hosts had her house burned down completely out there. She's got a ranch. And animals died and things like that.
Here?
Can you imagine? Yeah, she had nothing left. So they set up
insurance?
A GoFundMe. I don't know. But a lot of things are gone. They have nowhere to stay and all that with the three girls.
Wow.
So I went and donated some to the GoFundMe thing that they did. And I hope that she, you know, pulls through. Because I can't imagine, you know, in a 5-minute... warning, you get up, you grab everything you can, and you leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it wasn't just an apartment. It was a ranch and all our work and everything's gone. So,
That's so sad.
I know. So it's hard to imagine what people go through when things like this happen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, your life is just going straight and smooth and suddenly, bam, you know.
Up in flames.
Yeah. So that's pretty scary, but at least they got away okay. So how was your weekend? You went to Vegas?
Esther, Ku, and I went to Vegas, and we did some shows there. We had a Vegas adventure, which was cool. And my parents met Esther.
Nice.
And so, it was fun. It was cool to kind of it felt like kind of like a little tour, even though it wasn't. But it was cool to kind of go along with Esther, who's been doing comedy for years, and she's been on TV, and she's so funny. And I look up to her, like, even though she's shorter than me. but I learned so much from her this weekend and just learned so much about her. And it's easy to see why people just adore her, because she's so funny and she's just... this beautiful Korean girl who just says the naughtiest things, you know? and so my mom got to see her perform and we had an awesome time. She's such a cool person. And I'm so grateful for the friendship I have with her.
That's very good.
Yeah.
So where did you perform?
We performed at through Bonkers Productions, Bonkers Comedy Club at the Rampart Casino in Las Vegas. And then we performed at the Hard Rock Cafe. And then she got us another spot at Planet Hollywood. And so, it was a cool weekend. And Yeah.
Nice. Did you guys travel around Vegas, the area at all?
Did you show her around? Yeah, we went up to Summerlin where my parents were, and we made vision boards, which was cool, which has nothing to do with showing Las Vegas.
What's a vision board?
A vision board is where it's kind of like a manifestation of the things that you desire.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like a... Yeah, like a goal, like goals or whatever. But you supposedly, you know, they have that whole thing. That guy we had on was like, the secret's fake. But there is something to say about manifesting your goals and your dreams when you get up every day and you look at, you know, positive affirmations and words. It keeps you focused on the
right,
goal.
It does.
So we took the time to do that, which was really cool because I wanted to do that. And we ate a lot of good food. Oh, my God. We ate so much food. And I'm going to Mexico in 10 days. And I'm like, I need to be in shape. So I'm going to be working out every day until Mexico, where I'll just eat myself sick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it was cool. It was great. Yeah. I'm excited. I hope to do more with her. So
very cool. Mm-hmm. So what was the weather like? Was it nice?
It was so cold.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was all right during the day, and it was sunny, but it was very cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. November, December are very cold in Vegas. I remember that.
Yeah.
But good for you. So I also went on a little vacation.
Yeah, tell me about your vacation.
I went up north to visit friends.
How cold was it?
It wasn't really.
Really?
Yeah, it's just like 70? Here.
60s?
Yeah. See, at night, maybe 50s, but or
That's
even
cold.
40s. But I didn't really feel cold, you know. I mean, it wasn't that bad at all.
Right.
But no rain, no nothing. They're dry as we are. And they usually get a lot of rain, you know. So, yeah, California's still having that famine that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So, So I flew up there. I managed to fly okay, you know. Because I've gotten scared of flying over the years. I don't know why. But what usually scares me is turbulence in the plane, you know. And I'm sure a lot of people get scared by it and stuff. But you know what? There's an article here that says that, you know, the planes are built for that, mm-hmm. you know. So you can see the wings shaking. You can feel the whole plane shaking and everything. But they're saying it's safe.
Yeah.
They're saying when the pilot is trying to take us to a clearer air, it's more for the discomfort and inconvenience. It's not easy. There's nothing that's going to happen mm-hmm. to the plane, you
yeah.
know. And they're saying usually it doesn't go up and down more than 20 or 50 feet,
mm-hmm.
but it just feels scary, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
And as we flew out of here on Thursday, there was still winds, strong winds, so the takeoff was bumpy. And yeah, I just I don't enjoy flying like I used to. I don't know how I used to sit in a plane for 14 hours to fly to Israel, you know?
Yeah,
that's
such
a long time,
flight.
Man. Shit, the hour that it takes to fly here was a long time
right.
for me. But, and then I had to drive there. So there's no planes to go there directly, so I had to drive a little bit, which is nice. And, you know, so we mostly, it's like they have a place kind of like in the woods and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, so it's really nice. They have like 2.5 acres of land and it's all mountainy and stuff. So it was really a nice place to get
That's
away,
cool.
you know.
I love that.
Yeah, I needed
Reminds
some
me
nature.
Of Vermont.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I needed some nature, you know, and I got it, you know, so I got to relax a little bit. But, you know, when you go to a place, where you're not really vacationing, you're just visiting.
Yeah.
Then I still had my computer there and everything. I had to make sure everything's okay.
Right, right.
But, you know, I mean,
That's
it
cool.
was fun.
It's nice to get away.
Yeah, I got to get away a little bit.
Did you smoke weed?
We smoked a lot of weed.
Did you smoke weed up from up there?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it good?
I don't take it with me anywhere. I don't take anything on the plane. So we, over there, they don't have storefront dispensaries, so they only deliver. I got there 30 minutes later. I got all the weed and the edibles I wanted. So, and they still have the 1,000 milligrams up there because nobody checks them.
Right.
But, yeah, I talked about the fact that they're doing away with high-potency edibles. So I went and bought a can of butter maker.
Mm.
And I haven't tried it yet. I haven't had a chance, but But I'm going to make my own edibles. And nice. Let's see how that happens, you know?
There you go.
At least you know what goes into it, you
know?
That's
cool.
Yeah. I just hope I can make it okay without ruining too much weed.
I'm sure,
I don't know.
As long as you follow directions.
Yeah. And
cooking is so much easier than people think. It's just a matter of following directions.
Right, right. Know? But I got to tell you that, I got this thing because it's made for that. Because they're saying to cook the butter just right, you have to keep stirring it for like 2 hours and shit like that. Here, this machine like does everything for you. You press 2 hours. Bam, you get butter. You press 3 hours, you get oil, whatever.
Perfect.
Even tinctures you can make from it. So
how much was it?
Like $140.
That's not bad.
No, not for what you can get, you know.
That's cool.
But it's going to take a lot of experimentation to see how I can get
Let me know. Keep me updated on...
Well, I don't have to eat a lot, yeah. Yeah, I'll start making edibles for friends and stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's like, bring your own weed and I'll make you butter. You know, and then we'll make cookies and stuff.
BYOW.
Yeah. So cool. That was funny. And yeah, we smoked a lot and stuff. That was cool. Lots of cigarettes too, which is not cool.
No,
but
Sam.
You know, you're around people that smoke and you smoke too much.
You gotta quit.
I know, man. I know. I'm thinking about it. But yeah. So I guess there was a... Oh, by the way, we're going to have a guest calling in. He's a drummer.
Oh, nice.
And he's going to call in. We're going to talk to him about some of his work and stuff. So that'll be in a few minutes. I guess there was a bombing in New York while I was gone, right? In the subway?
Failed attempt. I mean, it happened, but no one died, right?
Right, yeah. There was a few injured. And they're saying they can see a camera with people just walking in the tunnel and then smoke all of a sudden, you know. So this turned out to be a Pakistani man who says he did it for ISIS. So I don't know. He faces 5 federal terrorism-related charges.
Nice.
And 3 state terrorism-related charges. Good. So put him in jail, throw away the key. I'm glad nobody got hurt, man. I mean, or killed.
Right.
But this is scary, man. Everybody picks on New York, you know, because that symbolizes America, you know. That's what America is about. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of things are happening. I wanted to say something about the vacation. I don't remember, but we walked, like, by a stream and stuff. They even have a stream on the property. Mm-hmm. Man, I was so just joyful, you know. Don't you love, like, the sound of water and stuff, mm-hmm. you know? So maybe I should get a waterfall for my house or something.
You should.
Would relax me a little bit.
Get a stream.
Yeah, they have small ones, you know, just for the sounds.
Yeah, it's serene.
It's very serene.
Serene streams.
Yeah.
Should be a website.
I know. Yeah. So I don't know if you heard about this, but there was in the football game between the Seattle Seahawks and the Jacksonville Jaguars, I guess a couple of the players started fighting with the fans.
Really?
Yeah, I guess
what?
Defensive lineman, Quentin Jefferson, I guess he said some fans threw drinks at him, and he was on the sideline. And so he attempted to scale the wall and had to be held back. So he was ejected from the game, and he says, what would you do, you know?
I mean, the fans should not be doing that.
Right, you know? But, So, I know. But, So, this guy says I don't have to answer and all that stuff. I don't owe an explanation. So, whatever, you know? But, obviously, you know, you do this during a sporting event, it's not going to end up good, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah,
especially when you're throwing stuff at people much bigger than you.
Right.
What are you doing?
Yeah, right? And I hope they arrested the fan. I don't know what happened there, but...
I mean, they get paid bazillions of dollars to act well.
Right.
You know, I can understand the reaction because who wants that, but yeah. I don't know.
All right, let's take our guest who's calling in right now. And we're going to be joined by... Dan Johnson. Dan, are you with us?
Hey, yes, I am. How you guys doing?
Good. Good morning, Dan. How are you? I'm here with Rachel.
Good.
Yeah. Where are you calling us from today, Dan?
At home in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, you're in Phoenix. Cool.
Yeah.
Have you lived there all your life?
I lived there. I've been living here since 2004. Uh-huh. So, yeah, it's definitely home. You know, I moved out here from the East Coast and Pennsylvania.
Oh, I see. And how did you end up in Phoenix, of all places?
You know, I wanted to change of pace and something different, but I had never been out west before, and I knew I couldn't afford L.A., and, you know, someone told me that, you know, Phoenix is beautiful, and I'd heard that a lot, and I tried to pack up my car and drove out.
Yeah, that's cool. So, now, you're a drummer. We'll let our listeners know, and so you moved out for to advance your career, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know L.A. is expensive, but wouldn't it be more logical to come to L.A.? But on the other hand,
I love it there.
Yeah.
I really do. I love L.A. I do. I've been dying to live there. You know, so someday I'll make it happen, but I just haven't got out there yet.
So. Right. But do you find enough work in Phoenix to keep you busy?
Essentially, yeah, for the most part. You know, it's you're constantly, you know, networking and trying to, you know, let everyone know you're home and available and stuff. And every time you leave on to go on the road, I feel like, you know, sometimes you feel a little more disconnected each time because, you know, guys will want to hire guys who don't leave, you know what I mean, to play for, the, you know, when to do the working gigs in town. So that's the only part that can be kind of a, you know, struggle sometimes. But for the most part, yes, you know, and Red is based out of Nashville, so I spend a lot of time out there too. That's a great music city as well. So.
Right, and Red is the band you're currently playing with, right?
Yes. I've been with them for about 3.5 years now, and you know, it's been wonderful. So,
yeah, is that the kind of music you like? Do you have favorite types of music?
I just love playing drums, but it's definitely one of my favorites, you know, and, you know, I love playing, like, you know, the heavy stuff, but I love playing country, and I love challenging myself, too, trying to, you know, that's where I'm at now. I'm trying to, you know, learn some new things and teach myself some new tricks and, you know,
cool.
That kind of stuff.
So, well, in a couple of minutes, I'm going to play one of your tunes so we can hear some of your drumming, and, I have it all queued up and everything. I wanted to ask you, though, when did you get into drumming? Was that something early on that you started?
Yeah, you know, I was a kid when I first got introduced to it, and my mother had taken me to a local school band concert, you know, and just to see if I was interested in anything, and I ended up, you know, had an interest for the drums, so I ended up, you know, trying it for a year at school, and I fell in love with it, and I did marching band and drumline and everything, and I loved it, and so I knew that there was no going back.
Yeah. Now, while you were learning, did that drive your parents crazy? Or did you find a quiet place?
I was very lucky for like a supportive family who, you know, they didn't seem to drive me too crazy. If it did, they didn't let on like they did. So.
Cool.
Wonderful.
So then you continued to high school and stuff. Were you in bands then? Did you start joining bands?
Oh, yeah.
And so what kind of music were you playing back then?
You know, when I was a teenager, I was very much into like the new metal stuff, like, you know, the 1995 to 2003 were probably my most influential years on me musically. You know, everything that came out during that time was probably my what I was listening to the most and what was making me want to be a drummer and everything. So that was everything from like the pop punk stuff to the new metal stuff to, you know, anything coming out at that time.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting, you know, that we tend to prefer the music we had when we were growing up, you know, because that was like the soundtrack of our lives when we were teenagers.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and also as a teenager, you really connect with music, right? It's like the first time you really like, I mean, teenagers live for their music.
Right. And I did too. You know, that's my life revolved around playing drums and playing air guitar in the basement and learning new songs. And just that was my entire life. So.
Yeah, very cool. And now, after high school, did you go to college or did you decide you're going to pursue your music career?
I attempted it for a couple semesters, but it was for all the wrong reasons. I didn't really know where I wanted to go.
Yeah.
I wanted to go because my friends were going and stuff. And I didn't know what I was going to do anyway. So after a couple semesters of, you know, I feel like, you know, it was, you know, putting more money into something I didn't even know if I was going to use or not. But you know, it was more for the fun aspect. That's what, you know, appealed to me.
Right.
College thing was like the, you know, because everyone was having fun. And I was like, oh, I have to go. And,
right.
You know.
So did you,
yeah,
did
just,
you
consciously didn't go that route.
Yeah. Now, did you consciously make a decision to make a career in music or, you know, were you planning to do something else? And then this happened. How did it develop for you?
You know, I went on my first tour at age 21 when I was playing in a Phoenix band here called the Sam Mysterium. And we would just go out playing for just enough to get to the next town. And, you know, it was bars and, you know whatever, whether it was, you know, parties or, you know, barbecue, whatever it was, you know, just enough to get to sustain and, you know, van and trailer. And just, but I fell in love with that. I knew there was no going back after that because I was, you know, just, I knew that, you know, eventually, you know, there might be bigger tours, you might do smaller ones, but just, you know, you have to love it and live it no matter what the circumstances are and, you know, kind of sell your soul to it, I guess.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
so to
that's
speak.
True.
But,
you might as well do what you
no
love.
Going back.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. You know, creative people, man, you can't put them in a box. You know, you have to,
right.
You have to give them the freedom and everything. So that's cool. Now, so you do you plan play for one band or do you have your own band or do you just play? Do you do like studio recordings and stuff like that? How does it work for you?
I play with anybody and everybody possibly can. Now, you know, Red is the band that I play with primarily the most, but, you know, whenever they're off, you know, I will play for, you know, whoever. And, when, you know, I want to play with as many different people as I can, you know, in this lifetime. So I definitely do, like, you know, session work and, you know, whenever can. I possibly can, so...
Yeah, very cool.
You know, I can't work too much.
How many members are in the band, Red?
Four total.
Oh, you're four people. Total. I see. And, yeah, so let me play. I have the song queued up called Still Alive. Is that one you play on?
That was from our most recent album. That was a, you know, that was one the we programmed those drums, yeah, but, you know... But, yeah, so, you know, we just came up with the ideas together, but...
Okay, well, I want to hear
your
drumming.
Yeah, that's the most recent album, yeah.
Yeah. Now, let me go to your website real quick. Do you have anything there that we can play? I see there's something here. Brian Head Welch, right? Then recording drums?
Yeah, any of the Love and Death stuff.
Yeah. Let me play this one for a second.
All that, yeah.
Then recording drums. Let's see what that's like, man. Sounds interesting, you know? Song code name Virgil. So this is cool. So you're just recording the drums and you're hearing the music in your headphones, right?
Right, and a click track, and then, you know, so it's just like something keeps you on tempo, and then, yeah, and then you're putting the drums to the song. Now, you know, most of the stuff I've done, it's been done backwards, so like the music will be done first, then I'll come in and do the drums. You know, sometimes they do drums first, but that album in particular... Music was first and drums were second. So.
Right, yeah. So now, so when they play the music before you put the drums, they probably just use like a drum machine or something. And then you put in the real drums, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I really like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's, for those of you who are interested in Red, let's just play a few seconds of it just so we can get an idea of what kind of music you're into, you know? So,
yeah,
let's see.
Yeah, I hear two things overlapping.
Yeah. That's true. I have a lot.
Yeah. The video and the music overlapping.
That's true. I'm going, what the hell? You're right. I had the two pages played at the same time.
A remix. It was a remix.
Yeah.
There you go.
But that's pretty hard music, huh? You get down with
it. Yeah, it's fun playing, you know, I'll go with them and you're hitting as hard as you can. And yeah. I love doing gigs where you're playing. So you have to, you know, play so soft that people can have dinner too in front of you. You know what I mean? So I like the contrast, you know, and the balance and back and forth. But
yeah, but it's cool developing your own thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool, Dan. So tell people where they can find you, where they can find more information about you and listen to some of the music.
You can go to the Facebook, Dan Johnson Drummer, danjohnsondrummers.com, Red Music Online, you know, keep informed on all the, you know, coming tour dates. With Red, we'll hit the road again in March, and, you know, it'll be a pretty busy, packed year, so I'm looking forward to seeing everyone out there on the road.
Very cool. Are you guys going to be in California, too?
Any chance? Hope so. I always love coming to California.
Yeah.
I'll be out there for NAMM next month.
Oh, yeah.
The NAMM show.
That's right. NAMM is coming up. And you guys can also go to, Dan's website, right? It's
Yeah.
The website is drummerdanjohnson.com. And you guys can see some of the drumming and everything. Very cool. Is there anything we forgot, Dan, that you want to include real quick?
No, just, thank you. And thanks to everyone for the support. And, you know, looking forward to, you know, rocking out with everybody in the new year. And
Hell yeah.
Can't wait to make it happen.
Yeah. Dan, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I like the drumming. You're definitely, it shows that you've been doing this for a long time, you know, so.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me.
I love listening to drums, and I never could play them, but I love them. So there you go. Dan, thanks again.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, all the best to you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye. Yeah. Musicians in general are very cool, I think, you know.
I found out this week, Esther, I didn't realize, like, she plays a lot of instruments. She makes parody videos. She's so smart. She plays I took her to my house, and my mom has a grand piano that she got from my grandmother, and it never gets played because, obviously, no one in my house plays. She just, like, sat right up and started playing, and I was like, wow, I feel like I'm in a Nordstrom's, you know. Close my eyes, I'm like in a fancy department store. But yeah, it was really cool.
Wow, very nice. Yeah, I love music. You know, I've played guitar for many years, but I don't play it anymore, and I wish I did. Yeah, I know. I just don't have the patience for it anymore. What can I tell you?
I feel you.
Yeah. So, and then the group Red, if you want to listen to their music, it's redmusiconline.com. So, we've been talking about retail dying in America and stuff, and now there's more news about the malls are rotting away.
Yep.
And what happens is, you know, when the big department stores leave, then the small shops get irritated because they lose their foot traffic that all the big stores draw.
Right.
So they sit there and with no customers and everything. And apparently, even Starbucks is pulling out, and the mall owners sued them, you know, for saying that, they were saying that it kills their business, you know, if they leave. But what are they going to do, you know?
Everybody's got to look out for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It was wanted to shutter stores, and the mall operator countered with a lawsuit. So, it's not easy to leave. But there'll be... they're saying that, you know, what the malls are probably going to do is get food halls and entertainment in malls and make it more of an experience.
Right. Where people can just, like, hang out and stuff.
Exactly, like it used to be.
Not just, like, go and leave, yeah.
Because people don't hang out there because it's only clothing stores, you know?
If they somehow combine... I know the malls are for family, but if they could put cannabis in there.
Yeah, right.
Like a cannabis lounge. The mall is the perfect place for stoners to hang out. You get high, you go to the food court, and then you go and buy things.
And spend your money without conscious.
It's perfect, and then you leave the kids at the kids center where they have like a daycare so they can have their kid fun. It's perfect.
Yeah. You know what they have at the airport? They have an area for pet relief. Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
Right next to the bathroom.
They have it at the Palms too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they have a little fire hydrant there and fake grass so the dogs will feel at home.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it.
Wow. I couldn't believe that,
man. It's pretty funny.
It's funny. Do they allow you to take animals inside the plane?
Yeah.
They do? Where are you going
to
put
them? I have seen animals come on a plane, but I've also seen them have to go underneath. And I'm like, how can they allow animals on the plane when people are, like, allergic and you can't eat peanuts and stuff? But, yeah, it's crazy. I've seen both. I don't know what the rules are.
I've never seen anybody bring an animal on board. I'd probably be irritated if they sat next to me simply because,
I wouldn't.
You know,
I would love to sit next to a dog as long as it didn't pee or poop on me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's better than a screaming kid, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like a cuddly dog.
Yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't bark.
Yeah.
It's true. I would love that.
So what else is going on, man? I mean...
Well, the election between Doug Jones and Roy Moore...
Yeah, it's going on now.
Today, we find out if we elect a pedophile to the office. Hopefully we don't. Hopefully Alabama rallies around... you know, the morals and values in which, you know, they believe in. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that's going on. I saw Jeff Sessions. I read something about Jeff Sessions rolling back the protections against legal states or something. Like there was a law that, like a temporary law that Obama put in place where the DEA wouldn't spend money on, the government wouldn't spend money for the DEA to go after states that have approved legalization or passed legalization, and he rolled that back, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
they're going to spend money.
It's really a problem for them that we smoke marijuana.
Yeah.
Here, right?
Even though we already legalized it, we voted for it, and Republicans are notoriously about less government. Here they want to come in and...
Yeah. Government is government. You know, it's always shit, man.
But that's what I don't understand about the Republican... Like, Jeff Sessions is a Republican. Like, you stand for less government,
right?
But yet you want to control this and what, and women's decisions over their bodies and you know, people getting married.
Yeah.
it's only when it suits them.
Yeah.
Do they uphold the law?
So, yeah. Well.
And the thing is like, you know, Al Franken resigned last week, which was cool.
Oh, so he resigned?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't
He resigned. So it's Trump's turn to resign.
Yeah, right. Now, apparently there's some serious allegations, right?
Well, it's the same allegations that were before, but they're kind of trying again because of what's going on with the Me Too campaign and, you know, these senators getting accused and then resigning, you know, and what Al Franken did versus what Trump has done is different. Still sexual harassment, but what Trump has done is much more serious.
Right. But, you know, one thing about this country is people are innocent until proven guilty. And none of this stuff has been to court yet. You know, so you're already calling people child molesters and sexual harassers and stuff. Yeah, we have claims, but the
we
thing
have
is just
evidence. Like Roy Moore was banned from a mall because he was creeping on little 14-year-old girls. I mean, we have the notes that he left that girl in her yearbook. I mean,
right? But,
I understand,
but that's why we have trials. I mean, you should know better than anyone coming from an attorney family.
100% innocent until proven guilty. But right. I also believe these women.
Right.
So
okay.
I'm not gonna like. I think our society, what they have done to create an unsafe, unsupportive environment for women who have been sexually abused or harassed to come forward. Oftentimes, it never really ends up in the victim's favor. Like, for example, Brock Turner, the kid that got accused of and found guilty of raping that girl, only is serving, you know, a very small sentence.
Yeah, that's bizarre. I don't know what happened there.
But that, you don't know what happened. That is what happens. That
right,
is our country.
Right.
And Trump openly admitted. I mean, we don't even need a investigation. He openly admitted to walking in on young girls naked in the pageant. He brags about it, that when you're a star, they let you do anything. And he grabs them by the pussy. I mean, that guy flat out told us that he harasses women.
Right.
And that's why I'm so, yeah, I don't, you know, we, sure, there should be an, there should be an investigation into him.
Right.
And there's, there, and I agree with that, you know? So, you know, I'm upset that Al Franken, that what turned out with him, but I think he did the right thing, you know? And I think he knows what he did was wrong, and it takes someone like him to admit fault and just be like, yeah, I did it. But isn't it funny that, you know, here I am going to...
Yeah, but there were pictures and everything. If there weren't, I don't know that he would have admitted that. You know, we don't know.
You know. It doesn't... It also, like, that's not the point about it. It's he did the right thing now.
Mm.
That's what it is.
By resigning.
Yeah, he's making an example of himself. And if that's what he has to do, then that's what it is. I mean,
do you think he resigned because I mean, don't you think he resigned because he knew it wouldn't go away? It would never go away, you know. So what kind of a career is that?
I don't know if that's why. I think, you know, we don't see Donald Trump resigning. We don't see Roy Moore, but that's what it is. It's not
going
away.
I don't think we're comparing them. I mean, they're totally different people.
They're not. They're politicians.
No, I mean, I'm saying that they're not Al Franken is not Donald Trump.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But there are two men in positions of power who have used their positions of power to make women uncomfortable and do illegal, harassing things to women. And we have Trump, who openly admitted it. We have Al Franken, who resigned, you know?
Right.
So...
So Trump is like Teflon, you know, nothing sticks. Why do you think that is?
He's been in the entertainment industry. He knows how to put on a show, and that is what he does. You know, he doesn't, I think to be a politician and to be a lawyer or whatever, or not a lawyer, to be an actor, you have to have those skills to be like Teflon. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he thinks he did anything wrong.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know.
I mean, look at O.J. Simpson.
What about him?
He will never admit, you know, even though he wrote a book saying, if I did it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, for their own, I feel like they have to do it for their own, they have to do it so they believe it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because once you start to crack, which I think we're kind of seeing with Trump, with like the slurring of words, and like his brain is not all there, regardless of like, you know, what is going on. Like you can just tell by looking at him, he's not all right, all in his right mind. Like there's a video of him slurring his words. He can't even say the United States of America right. But I think that Mueller is getting very close to like dropping a bomb on this investigation and just, you know,
good. Well, maybe if it changes some things for the better, then I welcome it, you know.
Well, Rachel Maddow does a really good job on MSNBC of investigative journalism, of just kind of like following the money and following, you know, the reports, and just doing, you know, some digging as far as like who's connected to who, and kind of like laying it out in a way that's very easy, because it's very complicated what has happened. And I think that it's easier for some people to just be like, I don't believe it, versus really be like, this was a very well, I wouldn't say well, but it was a very, you know, thought out plan what they did to hijack the elections. I mean, you can see in the stuff that Mueller's finding out and the reports and everything, and how this is all linked to Russia. And I mean, this goes back way back. And I think it's important for the American people to kind of, you know, like, It's kind of like when your best friend starts going out with someone and you know that the guy she's going out with is just not good for her. Like, mm-hmm. you found out something, or you know something, or he did something that was just like, uh-uh, this is not good. You don't want to see your friend date this person. And then you try to have an ominous conversation with your friend, and your friend not only doesn't believe you, but just like shuts you out completely. Like, that's happened to me before.
Yeah.
And it's not until they see it for themselves. It's not until the people, like, until some, they start to personally get affected by certain changes that he has made, to maybe make them realize, like, oh shit, this person, this guy isn't as good as I thought he was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's some people are just comfortable with the denial of living in their own denial, because it's too hard, one, to admit that you're wrong, and two, to like realize that sometimes people in positions of power or in charge don't have our best intentions. I mean, that has happened in history over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
Multiple times. Kings, presidents, you know, people in positions of power, they get power and they do bad with it.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, they give in to self-interest, you know, and that's the thing. When you're in public office, you have to have the interest of the people. You know, and I agree, you know, I agree
and
with that.
Although,
but most, you know, politicians, I think, are like
right.
that.
And although, you know, everyone hates Barack Obama for Obamacare, there were the people that were affected were people who could afford to be. You know what I mean? Like, the people that he gave health care to people who weren't able to have access to it before. Now, I personally think health care should be free, just like in your, you know, like whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. I'd be willing to pay higher taxes if I could go into a hospital when I am sick and know that just something that happened to me that was out of my control isn't going to put me into debt.
Right.
Because that's where a lot of people are getting into debt over their illnesses in this country. And it's like, mm-hmm. they've worked their entire lives. They've done everything right. They've paid their taxes and they get mm-hmm. sick.
Right.
And it's like, you shouldn't have to lose your house, your home, your life because you get sick. In other countries, that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in places where they have free health care, where, you know, I would be willing to pay higher taxes for that. Would you? For free healthcare, where every little thing didn't cost $1 million, especially when you get sick?
Well, it depends what it would be like, you know. I mean, it's hard
quality,
for me to say.
If it was quality healthcare.
Yeah.
And our taxes were just a little bit higher, but so what? So you get cancer, you can go in, you get treatment, you don't have to go into debt.
Okay,
over that.
So let me ask you this, though. In our country, and in every country, there's a problem with the taxes. Let me tell you what it is. People that make more money pay more taxes, right?
In this country.
In this country.
Yeah. Currently.
In many countries.
I don't know about other countries. I know
right.
about this country.
Okay. But you seem to know enough about other countries as far as healthcare and things like that.
I do study healthcare in other countries because mm-hmm. I find it interesting how this, we're still battling over, to me, taxes in other countries. I don't, taxes here, taxes there, taxes are a thing. You know what I mean? They exist.
Right.
In Canada, in the Netherlands, you know, and I have friends who are from both those countries, and they describe personally what their experience also on top of me reading about the healthcare system. And for the most part, it's good feedback. I mean, they're like, mm-hmm. yeah, we pay higher taxes, but when I get sick, I don't have to worry about paying paying a whole paycheck's worth.
Right. But what about the people that you said can't afford healthcare? I understand that. Right. But do they pay taxes?
Yeah.
What?
Like me, I can't afford healthcare and I still pay
right.
taxes. Like the
okay.
money that I make from
so
this
would
radio
you pay,
station.
Would you pay double the taxes if they raise
I don't
it?
I don't know if double is it. If they raise the taxes and I knew that I was getting healthcare, absolutely. 100%.
Right.
Because either way, I'm going to pay for something. I'm going to pay a couple hundred dollars a month for insurance that may not even cover all of what I'm going there for.
Mm-hmm.
It will maybe cover a copay and the medicine, but I'll still get a couple hundred dollar bill later on for the procedure or whatever.
Right.
So my question
to you is this. Why are people that are making more money paying more taxes?
I don't know about, again, I'm not an economist. I'm talking about healthcare.
No, but this is the same thing, because you're saying that obviously the rich get taxed more. So the rich are going to be the ones, and not just the rich, middle class too, but they'll be the ones that have stuck with the bill, you know, to pay all this. So my question is, why is it because somebody works harder or smarter and makes more money, they penalized? You know, that's what I need to say.
Well, we got to have
flat tax, you know. That's what I think we should do.
Oh, you mean like one tax for everyone?
Yeah, or something like that.
I don't, honestly, I don't see a problem with that. If it was, if everyone, if that, but again, if that tax went to, like some of it went to healthcare, some of it went to, why the fuck not, right?
Right.
Why not? We can agree on that.
Because people would say, oh, they have more money, they should pay more money.
Some people would say that. Some people would say that.
Well, most people. I mean, I think that the problem is always, look, people are always saying, oh, everything benefits the rich, everything benefits the rich.
But I also think some people who are at that level don't mind paying a little bit more in taxes. Like my mom, she doesn't mind if it goes to, you know, the greater, because that's just what it is.
So that's your mom, you know. I mean, I understand that.
There are a lot of people who don't mind because they know there's just going to be more money.
Mm-hmm.
Money comes, money goes. You got to give back.
Right.
If this country has provided you with a platform for you to succeed so well, why not give a little bit more back?
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say you pay, I don't know, not you. A person pays $1,000 in taxes, okay, over the year. Another person pays $50,000 in taxes. Is that fair? Should they both receive the same level of health care?
It makes sense that if you make more, you're going to pay more in taxes.
Why does it make sense?
Because you're making more money.
So what? But I'm working harder. Why do I have to be penalized for working?
You might
hard?
Be working harder, but like,
what about
some people may not? It's I don't think
why if well, you earn that, money, if you have money,
Sam, just because you make more money doesn't mean you work harder than someone who works four jobs and isn't at that level. That's a just because you make more money doesn't mean you work harder.
Well, what does it mean then?
You got lucky. I don't know, had better circumstances.
Lucky? No, people are busting their asses off to build companies and risk their lives and their
houses.
You
know what? I think people come from trust funds from their mommies and daddies, and they get money from them to start their company.
Okay, some are.
That's what I'm saying. You can't generalize that all rich people are working their ass off. I know a ton of fucking rich people who were born into it, and they never had to work.
Okay, so they're born into it. So they have money. Why should they pay more just because they have more?
Because that is how the world works.
No, that's not how the world works. You want it to be equal.
I mean, that's what it is. You make more money, you pay more taxes. That is what it is.
No, that's how we made it.
So you think poor people should make more taxes? They make less money because in your mind they are less hardworking? I know a ton of poor people. That is so insulting.
Why?
Because there are a ton of people who work so fucking hard their entire lives, and they will never see the amount of money as these rich people. And
no, but they're rich because... No, you're talking about rich people like there's some other people.
It doesn't mean every rich person is rich because they work hard. I know a ton of fucking rich people who are rich because their mommies and daddies.
Okay,
gave them
money. I know a lot of poor people that don't work.
That's fine. I know a lot of rich ass people that don't work.
Okay,
who will never work a fucking day in
their life.
And you know what? They should pay more high taxes.
Okay, so that's a difference between the right and the left, and we'll leave it at that.
I think that's so insulting. I hope. Okay, honestly, I think you should.
I don't know why you have to take things personally.
Have you ever been poor?
Yes, many times.
Okay.
Many times.
You know
and
what?
And you know what? I've had to deal with it
and
because
you know
I
what?
Live in a capitalistic
are you rich?
Country.
Are you
no.
rich? And
Far.
To me, you are so hardworking.
Right.
And you are not rich.
Right. But I don't think I don't think somebody who figured out how to make more money than me should pay more just because they're making more money. I don't think it should work like that. But that's the system we have here. We have to live with it. And that's fine, you know. I don't know.
That was my point.
But enough with the insulting bullshit.
So
come
hard.
On.
I wasn't. I just said you are not rich, but you work hard.
Right. But it doesn't matter. But you see, I'm still believing that the rich shouldn't have to pay more than me.
Shit. You know? I know some kids that will never work a day in their life, and they are billionaires by birth.
Right. And there's a lot of people that don't work, and they rely on the state. In fact, some women have children, so the state can give them more money.
That's a right-wing conspiracy. A
conspiracy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll give you some proof, okay? You know what? I'm going to bring you evidence,
because
I know people that do this. Okay,
I'm sure there's people that on both have sides, but it's very
that
small.
Want the government to be the father of their kids, you know.
Because I don't every time, know one poor person or people on welfare don't.
You
I don't know.
That's the point. But there are. You don't know, there,
Sam. In, that
things
is the
are
world
not only limited
of course,
to your
of course, but
experience.
There are people who benefit from these programs who work hard and they benefit from them.
Okay.
So we shouldn't. That doesn't mean we should just get rid of them.
Get rid of who?
I'm just saying, just because there are people, obviously, who are going to take advantage. There are bad people. There are bad Jews. There are bad Palestinians. There are bad white people. There are bad black people. There are bad Chinese people. There are bad poor people. There are bad rich people. But that doesn't, they don't, they can't, you can't generalize an entire group of people based off a small pocket of bad people within that group.
Okay,
of course,
well,
there are people who rely, who take advantage of the system, but also being under welfare, there are checks. There are people who come and check on them. They can't just rely on a system forever, forever, forever without there being consequences. I've heard that argument before, but it's been debunked. It's not, it's like a thing that right wing put into their new to make people like you think that poor to be poor is less,
so
they
you know,
are less deserving.
Okay. All right. But all I'm asking this is this, Rachel, and I'm saying this on the air. Enough with the personal digs, okay?
I mean, we're talking.
You're telling me you're offended by what I'm saying. I mean, what is this?
It's just a media show. You know what, Sam? It's 2017. Women are allowed to be offended.
It's not about a woman. You see, now you're making it about women and men.
You know what? I'm not going to let you sit here and say that poor people are, they take advantage. They're less hardworking than rich people.
That's not what I said. Go back to the tape and listen, okay? But let's wrap it up now because we have to go. We're over time.
I didn't say it was personal. I'm a radio host who has, and I'm a female who in 2017 who has an opinion.
And that's why you're here, Rachel.
Of course, and it's not personal. But I'm gonna speak my truth, and what I feel is what I feel. So,
okay,
and
then I'll start.
And you know
too,
what?
Okay.
And you know what? Any woman who sits here will be like, good for her. She spoke up for what she believes in.
Okay.
Happy 2017.
Yes.
The women are gonna grab the pussy back. So
okay.
Beware.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. Thanks, Dan Johnson, for calling in. Everybody, check him out. And we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.